It's time for Youth Sports Now, the only radio show in Rochester dedicated to the excitement, the passion, the development, and well-being of young athletes. From peewee to college athletics, Youth Sports Now brings you expert advice and helps prep young athletes for the game and beyond. Youth Sports Now is sponsored by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And presented by McQuaid Jesuit, the area's only all-boys Catholic college prep school for grades 6 through 12. By Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, gain the competitive edge with vision performance. And by TJT Sports Photography, taking the winning shot every time. Here's the host of Youth Sports Now, the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp.
Welcome to this edition of Youth Sports Now. I am the lifelong Little Leaguer, Greg Camp, and today we thought we would look back on some of the topics that we feel have been very, very important to parents, coaches, sports administrators, and the young athletes themselves. You know, it is the time of year where we've got Labor Day and back to school, and of course we hope everybody had a wonderful Labor Day holiday, Labor Day weekend, and you know, you kids, it's back to school. Moms and dads are thanking their lucky stars you're going back, and we know what it's like. So have fun and make sure that you study hard this season. You know, looking back at some of the things we discussed, it brings up the topic of concussions, and it also brings up the topic of youth football. So all of us at Youth Sports Now wanted to revisit that topic. Youth Sports Now did a wonderful topic with Dr. Robert Cantu, who is the NFL consultant for concussions, as well as a private physician, and he's written many books. We talked to him about concussions and the importance of making sure that your kids are safe on the football field. And later, we'll speak with New York State Assemblyman Michael Benedetto. If you remember correctly, he is the lawmaker who wants to ban contact football for children under the age of 11. And don't forget, in our regular Peak Performance Physical Therapy segment, we'll have, of course, Mike Naparella with us, and he'll be having some more conversations with Todd Alford of Elite Performance Baseball Training Center. Concussions are the number one sports media and parental concern today, mainly as more attention is being given to the concussion issue. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 4 million, yes, I said 4 million sports and recreation concussions are determined each year. And that number would most likely increase if all concussions were recognized and diagnosed. So concussions have been, and in some cases, are a silent epidemic. And there's no one better in this arena to talk about concussions than our very first guest. His CV, his resume, his list of accomplishments and advice is absolutely phenomenal. It would take me probably the entire hour to go through everything. But some of the highlights are we have with us tonight Dr. Robert Cantu from Concord, Massachusetts. He is currently a clinical professor at the Department of Neurology and co-director of the Center for Study of Traumatic Encephalology. And I'm going to have to correct myself on that. I'm going to need his assistance at Boston University School of Medicine. He also works with the National Football League as the advisor to the NFL's Head, Neck, and Spine Committee, and also works with the National Football League Players Association. He is the co-founder of the Sports Legacy Institute and also is the medical director for the National Center of Catastrophic Sports Injury Research at the University of North Carolina. And, of course, the CV just continues as he's also the chair of Department of Surgery and director of sports medicine at Emerson Hospital in Concord. Dr. Cantu, are you there? And if you are, please welcome to Youth Sports Now.
Greg, I'm here. I'm delighted to be aboard.
Well, you know, this has been an incredible topic. And you know, as I said earlier, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, almost 4 million sports and recreation-related concussions are recognized each year, and many more go unrecognized. Can you tell our listeners, first of all, what is a concussion?
Well, Greg, a concussion occurs when the brain is violently shaken inside the skull, and that can happen most commonly from a blow to the head, but it also can happen from a blow to another part of the body that just simply whiplashes or shakes the head, like a blow to your back that snaps your head back, or a blow to your chest that snaps it forward, or just a very violent blow to your body, period, that just shakes the whole body, the head included. Most of the time, concussion involves a metabolic injury, where cells over a period of time are still alive but are not functioning properly. There's various ionic disequilibriums. There's release of metabolites and things that cause cells to function and pass messages on that, for the most part, temporarily are not working properly. And then if properly managed, in most cases, a concussion will clear up within 10 days to 2 weeks. But in about 20% of cases, symptoms can be prolonged.
Dr. Cantu, one question that we have is that people seem to be far more aware or at least conscious of concussions. And yet, if we talk about things 10 years ago, the issue was not concussions. No one ever talked about it. But my guess is that even 10, 15, and even further, all those years ago, concussions were still taking place. We just didn't know about it. So why all the attention now?
Well, I think several things, and I think it's a bit of a perfect storm. We wrote our first return to play after a concussion for collision sports like football and ice hockey and so on over 30 years ago. So a few of us were studying concussions and writing about them and lecturing on them a long time ago. But you're absolutely right. Not a great deal of emphasis was placed on it. I think it started with Ted Johnson going public in 2007 with his post-concussion issues following mismanagement of concussions that he accumulated playing for the New England Patriots. I think in addition to Ted Johnson, the articles from Alan Swartz in the New York Times bringing up to conscious awareness the problems with concussions, the national media picked up on it. Certainly the incidence of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the occurrence of it in the National Football League, starting with Mike Webster, and now there have been more than 40 cases that have come forward in the last 5 years. So all of this has kind of occurred over the last 5 to 10 years, and so there's a tremendous heightened awareness of not only what concussions are, but most importantly, what can happen if they're mismanaged.
And, Doctor, what in terms of the young athletes, I mean, people listening to this show are our parents, coaches, youth sports administrators. Why are young athletes at a higher risk when it comes to concussions?
Well, there are several reasons. One is their brains are not fully myelinated. Myelin is the coating of the nerve fibers. It's kind of like coating on a telephone wire. It helps transmission, but most importantly, gives greater strength. So our young brains are much more susceptible to structural injury from violent shaking because they don't have a full myelination of each nerve fiber. Young brains also are more susceptible to the excitotoxic shock of concussion. That's the metabolic disruption that happens with concussion. And also our young brains, especially our youth, especially those under the age of 12, are housed in disproportionately large heads. 90% of our head size is accumulated by the age of 5. So our youth have incredibly large heads, and their necks are very, very weak. And this bobblehead doll effect greatly puts the brain at greater risk for injury.
We're speaking to Dr. Robert Cantu, who is one of his many lists of accomplishments is he is a consultant to the NFL and their injury program and protection program and expert on concussions. Doctor, I've been reading your book, Concussions and Our Kids. And one of the things that I really like a lot in the book is the whole concept of when in doubt, sit them out. Can you explain what that means?
There are two bad things, Greg, that can happen if somebody tries to play through a concussion, and unfortunately an awful lot of people have in the past. Fewer are doing it today, but still quite a few are. One is that you put yourself at risk for the second impact syndrome, which has about a 50% mortality when it occurs. And so fortunately it's not common, but it does happen, and every year we lose some young people to that problem. But the most common thing that happens if you try to play through a concussion is you'll make the symptoms much worse, they'll last much longer, and you'll have something that might have cleared up within a day or two, certainly a week, now being extended, going on weeks if not months.
In your book, Concussions and Our Kids, you outline some of the sports and which ones are riskier. And I was very interested in the fact that you broke it down into the non-contact sports and then the contact sports. Can you just briefly explain the sports and which ones are riskier for today's youth athlete?
Well, every sport potentially could have a head injury, but certainly those sports in which there's a lot of body contact are at greatest risk. So at the top of the list is tackle football. A little bit below that is ice hockey. A little bit below that is lacrosse. And then you go on to basketball and baseball and so on, where the risk of head injury is still there, but it's much less.
And doctor, when one of the sections of your book, you talk, there's a couple of lines about the coaches. What do you, as a concussion expert, consider to be the coach's responsibility on the sidelines when it comes to either concussion prevention or if, in fact, the child is injured, what their responsibility is to that child and to that child's health?
Well, at the youth level, Greg, as you know, there really aren't medical personnel on the sideline. There's no certified athletic trainer. There's no doctor. And the coach kind of has to be looking out for the welfare of the youngsters. And so it's absolutely crucial that the coach understands what concussion symptoms are. And if there's any doubt that the youth may have had a concussion, that he sits them out and not allows them to go back. But at all levels, the coach should know those symptoms. And at all levels, the coach should be teaching proper technique and avoiding contact with the head whenever possible. And coaches, I think, need to think very long and hard about just how much full-body contact should be occurring. The National Football League, to their credit, the most recent collective bargaining agreement signed this past year, they only hit 14 times in 18 weeks of the season, and they don't have any full contact in the off-season at all. So they're having full contact practices only once, less than once a week. College and high school and youth are doing a lot more than that, and that's putting the brain at risk.
And what do you think these organizations, doctor, like whether it's Pop Warner Football, Little League, or the hockey, USA hockey programs? I know that in your book you outline some of the accomplishments and some of the progress they're making, but what do you think, you know, if the NFL can go out and in a collective bargaining agreement make this agreement about contact, what do you think needs to take place at the youth level, and why is there so much adversity to it?
Well, I think it's a matter of lack of knowledge, and you and your program are providing that knowledge, and I think it's getting out there, and I hope things will be very different within a few years. I believe strongly that tackle football should not be played under the age of 14. I think flag football should be played. I want football to be played. I want the skills of football to be learned. You can tackle dummies without bashing heads and getting head injuries. But I think our youth are at greater risk. Right now, Pop Warner says the reason why they're having tackle football as young as 5 years of age is because that's what the parents want. The parents are not signing their kids up as much for flag football as they are for tackle. Well, I think that needs to change, and I think when the parents get the proper information about the risks that their youngsters are undergoing by playing tackle football at a very young age, that they'll opt for flag football in the future.
That's great. We're speaking on youth sports now with Dr. Robert Cantu and his most recent book, Concussions in Our Kids. He is absolutely America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and to keep sports safe for the youth of America. It has been an absolute pleasure, Dr. Cantu, to have you on Youth Sports Now. It's something that concussions are prevalent in our society and youth sports, and your expertise. First of all, we thank you for that expertise and thank you for your work. Your new book is Concussions and Our Kids, and it's America's leading expert on how to protect young athletes and keep sports safe by Dr. Robert Cantu. And doctor, thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate it, and we certainly hope to have you on again in the future to continue the discussion on concussions.
Greg, thanks so much for having me. I'd be very happy to come back in the future.
Great, thank you. We've been talking to Dr. Robert Cantu, and now we're going to take a quick break.
Peak
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Little League is committed to the safety of its players, so background checks are mandatory for all volunteers. And that's why every local league gets 125 free national criminal background checks. Little League rules for a reason. For more info, go to littleleague.org.
Want to give your Little League or high school baseball or softball player a major league swing? Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center is giving you a free video analysis of your player's swing. This is the same video analysis used by major league hitters. And Elite Performance's professional coaching staff with over 30 years of experience can show your ball player how to improve their swing. But you have to act now. Elite Performance is only accepting the first 20 people to respond to this free video analysis offer through Youth Sports Now. Take advantage of this one-time opportunity and call 749-4623 right now to schedule your player's free video analysis. That number again, 749-4623. Discover how a free video analysis can help. Call Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center at 749-4623 right now. Learn from the pros to swing like a pro.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
There's only one Little League where 500,000 girls can play their hearts out and be seen by the world. Little League Softball, televised nationwide in four divisions. Join a real Little League. Sign up today. Little League rules for a reason.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Joining us from Albany is New York State Assemblyman Michael Benedetto, who has introduced legislation in New York State to prohibit children younger than age 11 from playing organized tackle football anywhere here in New York State. And from our research so far, we are the only state in the nation that has this proposal up for discussion. Assemblyman Benedetto, welcome to Youth Sports Now.
Greg, thanks so much for having me.
Can you explain to us a little bit more, I mean, for all us non-politicians and non-lawmakers, explain how it works with the bill that you have put forth, and can you explain to our listeners what the bill actually is?
Sure. The bill, well, you described it pretty accurately. The bill would prohibit the playing of organized tackle football, and let's stress the word tackle, football in the state of New York. For children underneath the age of 11 years old. I introduced a bill, I guess, approximately 5 or 6 weeks ago. The bill has a regular procedure. It is assigned to a committee, and since I was amending the health law here in the state of New York, It is presently in the Health Committee. It's my job now to talk to my colleagues here in the Assembly to get them to support the bill, to tell them the reasons why I have introduced the bill, and get them to join on as possible co-sponsors to that bill, and then to convince the members of the Health Committee to think it's a worthy bill to pass out of that committee. Eventually, if it passes through all the committees it's assigned to go to, it reaches the floor for a vote where it would be debated on. At the same time, it's going to be incumbent upon me to find a sponsor of the same bill in the state Senate. And that person, if I find one, would do the exact same thing in his chamber. And if we're lucky enough to convince both chambers to pass the bill, it then goes to the governor for his signature.
Assemblyman Benedetto, one of the things that I find interesting is that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't realize this, is that you have a background in education. And in fact, your background has a special connection to the Special Olympics. So I imagine that background has provided some valuable knowledge to you in presenting this bill. Can you talk to us a little bit about your background and then ultimately the real reason as to why you are proposing this?
Well, my background, it was in education. I was a school teacher for 35 years, 30 of them with special education students, physically handicapped children who also were intellectually challenged. It certainly gave me a sensitivity to children with special needs and special problems. However, my interest in head injuries, which my bill is directly concerned with, came from a coworker. A coworker who used to be working with me on a second job that I had in a local councilperson's office, whose son was a football player of some distinction in the Bronx, who was a running back and had played ball for many years and had accomplished quite a bit, received a scholarship to college. However, when I ran into her several years later, she told me the rest of the story that I missed when I left that office to become an assemblyman. It appears her son went to college but never played a down of football at the college level because it was then, unfortunately, that the effects of all the concussions and, let me emphasize now, subconcussive blows that he sustained over his years of playing football, the effects finally kicked in. And he eventually had to drop out of college, and he had to basically be at home for the last 6 years because he is still suffering the effects where it cannot function in our society. That led me to be interested in the whole issues of head injuries. And we introduced the bill several years ago here in the State Assembly and eventually got it passed that directed the State Education Department to promulgate regulations about what should be done if a child sustains an injury on the field here in New York. And they were published just last summer. So this is an extension of that. Further studies have shown over the last 5-10 years, these studies are just coming out now, that blows to the head, concussion blows for sure, but multiple concussive blows that you might not even notice, and not just blows to the head, but also tackles, the child falling down to the ground on their backs or on their stomachs, the rotation of the brain, a sort of a whiplash effect, also causes damage. All of this, quite possibly, hurting the brain development of that child. And that's where the bill came from, and that's what is at issue here.
We're talking with New York State Assemblyman Michael Benedetto, who's introduced legislation in New York State to prohibit children younger than age 11 from playing organized tackle football. Assemblyman, what is the procedure in terms of, you explain how it works? How long would it take? I mean, if this were to fly through the state legal system, how would it be that when this would take effect?
This is a bill who, in all likelihood, is not going to pass this year. I realize it's a very controversial issue, and certainly the reaction I have received from throughout the state of New York and also in my own district, extremely hostile to the idea. So it's going to take a while to educate people as to the intent of the bill, to get people to realize that this is not an anti-football bill. As a matter of fact, it can be viewed as just the opposite, as a bill to help football from getting a bad name that's been being played out in many of the headlines in the newspapers about pro football players who are suffering the effects of traumatic brain injuries from all their hits. So I want to emphasize that this is really part of the equation here. We want to protect children from these blows as long as possible, until their brain develops better, until their skulls develop better, until their heads become more in proportion to their bodies to be able to sustain these blows and these falls, and that their neck muscles become stronger so they can protect themselves from these blows. And we need to let people know what we're doing and why we're doing it, that it's not an attack on the game. It's really to protect the kids in the short run, and hopefully in the long run they'll be able to play a wonderful sport that I happen to think is the greatest team sport that we have. And so that's going to take a while. And so while passage might not happen this year, maybe next year, and possibly in the future, but we're going to take this slow and try to do it right.
Assemblyman Benedetto, you actually brought up an answer to one of the questions I was going to ask you. But on Super Bowl Sunday, President Obama said that he would think twice about allowing a son, if he had one, to play football, and that he's certainly a fan, but he does no doubt has some concerns when it comes to the concussion. So it seems as you've got a little presidential backing there. In our remaining minute or so, can you explain? You said you are a big fan. Did you play football, or did you have children that played football?
I have two daughters, so they never played football. They did some softball playing, however. And I myself never played football on the contact level. I only played it, much older, and just touch football and organized football, but nothing with tackling.
And some would say that's actually not only safer for our kids, but as we get older as adults, it's probably a little better to play touch or flag football as well.
I would think, especially as adults.
Well, Assemblyman Benedetto, we want to thank you very much for talking with us on Youth Sports Now. And this is something that we'd like to check in with you every now and then and get some updates and see where it goes.
Greg, I thank you for the opportunity to letting your listeners know why I introduced the bill, and by all means, call anytime.
Great. Thank you. We've been speaking with New York State Assemblyman Michael Benedetto, and coming up next on Youth Sports Now, we go to the other side of the field and we hear from the Pop Warner people and see what they say about the possibility of banning contact football from youth football tackle for kids who are under age 11.
Conservatives. WYSL. Rochester's home for America's Morning Show with Quinn and Rose. 92.1 FM and 1040 AM. WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Little League is committed to the safety of its players, so background checks are mandatory for all volunteers. And that's why every local league gets 125 free national criminal background checks. Little League rules for a reason. For more info, go to littleleague.org.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
It's been an exciting night of Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Joe.
And now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Smith's mom. Smith's mom gets in two right hands.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, Peak Performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If Peak Performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance. Topics that support the well-being of your young athlete. Presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
We are back on Youth Sports Now, and with us we have our physical therapy and sports training expert, Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy. And, of course, we have Todd Alford with us, who is Todd is the president of Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center. And it's great that I've finally been able to get you two together, because the concept here of having you guys work together is just mind-boggling to me. Let me start out with a question that I think a lot of people ask. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. You know, Todd is coaching players. He's coaching the hitters and the pitchers. And let's focus maybe on the pitcher. And that pitcher has that shoulder pain or the elbow pain that we have talked about in many shows. And Todd says, you know, look, we do have some biomechanical issues here, but I need you to go to see a physical therapist. What do you, as part of the team, what do you and Todd talk about to work with that particular athlete?
Well, as long as we have a kid come in who's, you know, if this athlete's got problems with their throwing and they're seeing a professional like Todd, then we really encourage them to sign off on the paperwork that allows us. We have to have HIPAA guidelines or mandate that we have an approval from them, obviously, and if they're a youth athlete, their parent has to agree to that, and they almost always do. Of course, they want the team working together, like you said, and that's the point of the team. So once we get that approved, that we can speak to them, then we want to get on the horn with them, and we'll talk about the things that we're seeing and try to be on the same page. You know, there's things that Todd knows as a baseball throwing mechanics expert that he's expert at that I'm not. And there's some things coming from the biomechanics background and the muscle function background that I can evaluate and assess that he's not as familiar with. And it's going to make a great team for those two people to be together, because oftentimes what we find is that And I had this happen the other day with a girl who was having someone, her high school coach, was changing her softball batting technique because she was having difficulty doing it the quote-unquote the normal way or the standard way. So they had her pre-loading on that back foot and just staying there because she couldn't take a loading phase as the ball was pitched, moving back to the right foot and then swinging. So she would just stay on the back foot. Well, what I discovered with her was actually the coach was having trouble with the technique on that because she physically lacked hip rotation and trunk rotation in the direction that she needed. So you could technique her all day long. If you don't find those physical limitations and barriers, then the athlete's not going to do well. Now, the problem is I can go fix those with exercise, but that's a skill, and that's where the skill training of a coach like Todd comes in, where I think we can mesh together and make a perfect blend because we can deal with the physical aspects and he can deal with the skill training aspects.
Todd, let me turn that around a little bit because this is something that I experienced in learning things from Mike. You know, I was embarrassed that after 23 years as a baseball coach, that there were times I would look at a player and I would say, they just don't get it. They can't stretch the right way. They can't make the move the right way. And I was embarrassed when Mike told me that, you know, guess what? There are times when it's not the player's, you know, ability or talent level. It's just that they can't stretch that way or there's a biomechanical issue. You, as a baseball coach and as a baseball scout, when you watch stuff like that, it seems to me that Mike is the perfect teammate for you because he can do that.
Absolutely. Speaking of being embarrassed, all the video analysis I do, one of my most embarrassing moments is when I video myself. And I look at now a 45-year-old former player 25 years ago at the dismal pitching mechanics that I've developed over 25 years of just throwing batting practice. My core stability, my functional strength has diminished to a point that my pitching mechanics are horrendous. And to see that play out on film, you know, so I understand the embarrassment, but taking that to a kid, you obviously can see where functional strength plays a huge role in limiting what an athlete can do. By partnering with Mike and saying, okay, we've identified these particular movements in whether it's hitting or pitching, but this is where this athlete's having trouble. These are the functional strength components. These are the physical limitations that we can improve on to ensure that the mechanics are getting where they need to be so that they can not only experience the success, but the enjoyment of the game.
I'm gonna give you guys a scenario, and I'm gonna ask that you both comment on it, and I'm gonna ask a very pointed question, with the understanding that there are no guarantees, there's no, you know, absolute 100%. But let me present the scenario. We have a softball player, and she is a pitcher, and she has come to, let's say she comes into Todd first, and Todd is working with her on the technique, and the technique just is not working. And suddenly, Mike, you get the call from Todd saying, I'm going to send over a high school athlete. She's a good pitcher. She's a good athlete. She's in great shape. But the technique is not working with her, and I'm wondering if there's something biomechanically wrong, and can you help me? My question to both of you is, with the combination of working on technique and then working on the actual biomechanical issues and maybe seeing if there's limitations, like Mike, you've mentioned before with volleyball players and other athletes you've worked with, can combined the two of you make sure that now the technique is proper and you're biomechanically protecting her the right way, and now she can perform at a higher level? I'll let either one of you guys jump in.
If you're asking, can we build Superman or Superwoman? I would say I don't know that I would go that far. I think what we can do is take an individual's natural ability and help them perform at the highest level safely. I think that's absolutely doable. Can we take you know, your average Penfield Little League pitcher and guarantee that he's going to be the next Steven Strasburg? Probably not.
Mike?
Yeah, I think I agree with Todd 100%. You know, I mean, whatever, all of these kids that are out there playing sports, they're playing with whatever they brought to the table. Whatever technique they grew up with and saw someone do, or their mom or dad taught them, or their best friend was doing, so they mimicked it. And whatever range of motion, flexibility, strength, et cetera, successes and limitations that they have are what they bring to the table. And then they're all still out there playing. Some have limitations in flexibility, some have poor technique, but they're all still throwing the ball and they're all still hitting the ball. I think what you're talking about is saying, you know, can we marry the concepts of taking sports performance technique training and then taking sports performance physical training and blend and mesh those together, and then we take vision training, for example. You know, all those different aspects of being a good athlete, the more an athlete can go find out what it is am I bringing to the table. You know, where are my successes, where are my failures? Then you can have the professionals help them with that. And for some people, they have the time and money and desire and long-term goals to go ahead and address all those things. Some will address only one or the other, but if there's a number of areas that need to be dealt with, if a kid comes into me for training and I do an awesome job helping their body get better, their technique and their baseball performance is only going to be affected to some degree because I'm still not skill training them. That's Todd's area, right? And the same difference is if someone comes in for training with a professional like Todd, they can work on their hitting and they can work on their throwing technique. However, if they've got some physical barriers and limitations that they brought to the table that aren't being addressed with that skill program, only doing the right kind of physical training is going to get that. So you're right. The only way to get as good as you can possibly get is to address all those areas of need, be it physical things or skill things. No matter what you do, you know, some genetics comes into play, heart and desire and motivation come into play, good fortune comes into play. And so, yeah, we certainly can't say that we can build the superhuman next Steven Strasburg and people like that, but kids who aspire to being the best they can be, those are the sort of things they've got to try and work on.
And if I could add quickly to that, understand that none of that is a one-time magic bullet. That takes hours and hours and hours of practice and implementation and working out. And it's, you know, it's a process.
Let me bring up one last question for you two guys and help our listeners out with something. I'm going to give you the scenario again. And this one is, you know, Mike, I'm going to start with you. You've got a player who, and I'm going to stick because we've been mostly discussing baseball today. I'm going to stick with baseball. You have a catcher, and this catcher has done some either injury or pain to his knee, and he has been sent to you for rehab. So you're rehabbing this young athlete's knee. How important is it then for when he goes back to skill training that now the communication goes the other way and you're talking to Todd as the coach and saying to him, okay, look, we've brought him back from the injury. We've brought him back through proper rehab. And now does any of the skill training need to be adjusted because of the rehab? So Mike, I'll let you answer that and then Todd can jump in.
I like that question a lot because really it comes down to us all sitting back and thinking about why this happened, which is the point of why we do things the way we do at Peak Performance. It's not like we just take a diagnosis and say, here's what you do to this knee injury. What did the doctor tell you is wrong with the knee? It's a tendonitis, so this is what we do to a tendonitis. It's a bursitis, so this is what we do to a bursitis. We really want to step back as professionals and say, why did this happen? So I think in terms of your question, what I would be thinking as a physical therapist on the rehab side would be, you know, when this kid came in and we talked about him being a catcher and having knee pain, did that knee pain seem to be coming just purely from overuse? As they demonstrate what they're doing, there's no major flaws in their technique. They're not doing something that's abnormal. It may very well, and oftentimes we find, is due to, let's say, a limitation at their hip or a limitation at their ankle that made their knee take that hit. But if there's things that have to do with certain drills or certain habits or movements that they're doing from their skill training, you know, we may need to talk to that person. But I think more often than not, a lot of those things come down to these kids need to make sure that they're varying their stresses, no different than a thrower or a swimmer. If you're getting that repetitive motion and coming out of a deep squat a million times, if you've got physically a good body and you don't have limitations, just the pure volume of that can be a source of trouble. So I don't think it always necessarily requires that coach to do something different, but the communication is important because they may be recognizing the same thing and the same flaws, and they're already trying to adjust the drills.
No, I would agree, and I think overuse is probably the biggest thing we look for in training. We try to, especially with our team practices, you know, ask who's thrown this week, how much have you thrown, before we send a pitcher out to throw, before we ask a catcher to sit back and catch, you know, have you just caught three games and you're not going to come in here and catch again. So we try to be very mindful of the overuse. And I would agree that, you know, if it's a mechanical flaw and we're not recognizing that, that can be a whole nother issue. We as coaches have to depend on either the parent or the player themselves. We ask the questions and we expect honest answers. You know, how much have you done? And I'll never criticize a kid for saying, I've already done this, I don't need to do it now. You know, overuse injuries need to be top of mind when we're dealing with youth athletes.
If I can chime in there, Greg, real quick, I think, you know, what Todd just said is hugely important for listeners to understand, parents and kids and coaches alike. Is he said honesty. You know, he expects honesty. And I think one of the challenges that we all have, number one is the question has to be asked. And Todd's doing a great job, and we try and do a great job of asking the question. The next step has to be, though, that the parents and the coaches and the kids have to be willing to be honest with those answers, because we all know, and this happened on the show months ago when you had the high school athletes on, a number of them, you know, we know this goes on, but a number of them admitted that they would hold back from being honest about an injury because they really wanted to play. And I think, you know, there is something to that valiant kind of take one for the team, and we all play through some bumps and bruises, but there's a point at which that becomes, that's the genesis of your injury. That's your missing your season. That's someone's about to put a knife to you to have to fix your problem because of poor decisions in the past. And our job is certainly not to make people feel guilty over those things. We want to try to prevent them. You know, I'd much rather have a hard talk with an athlete about having to make tough decisions like that before they've, you know, had to go see the orthopedic doctor who says, you know what, our solution is we're going to have to do surgery on this and you're going to be out 6 months. That's a much harder thing to swallow than I think I need to take off 2 weeks. So I think those discussions are really critical. And as Todd said, honesty is the whole answer, because you can ask the question, but if you don't get honest answers, then you can't make decisions based on the truth.
Well, you know, honesty and communication, absolutely two of the most crucial elements of youth sports and working with our athletes and parents and sports administrators and coaches. And we've been talking to two of the best, with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training, and also Todd Alford from Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center. You know, I think any athlete in general would be foolish not to come and see you, Mike. And certainly Todd, you know, for skills training and, you know, with the baseball and softball, I think that there's nobody better. And when you put the two of you guys together, I think our community is extremely lucky to be in this type of environment. So I'd like to thank both of you, and we'll be back with more Youth Sports Now in a moment.
Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from your home. Where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared for like family. Where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, peak performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If peak performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference. Call Peak Performance at 218-0240. That's Peak Performance, 218-0240. We'll be expecting you.
Coaching tips, practice planning, safety and conditioning, and everything in between. The Little League Coach Resource Center. Go to littleleaguecoach.org for more information.
Youth sports provide memories for a lifetime, so why not preserve them? TJT Sports Photography offers individual, team, and action photography of your all-stars. Whether you're a parent, league administrator, or school athletic director, visit TJTSportsPhotography.com to see the major league offerings. From peewee through high school, TJT Sports Photography gets the winning shot every time.
Intellectually competent, loving, religious, open to growth, committed to justice. The words used to describe the young men who graduate from McQuaid Jesuit. Educating young men in grades 6 through 12, McQuaid focuses on the entire person, mind, body, and soul. There is a difference at McQuaid Jesuit. Why not find out for yourself? Go to McQuaid.org today to schedule your visit. That's McQuaid.org. McQuaid Jesuit. Live the experience.
Want to give your little league or high school baseball or softball player a major league swing? Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center is giving you a free video analysis of your player's swing. This is the same video analysis used by major league hitters, and Elite Performance's professional coaching staff with over 30 years of experience can show your ball player how to improve their swing. But you have to act now. Elite Performance is only accepting the first 20 people to respond to this free video analysis offer through Youth Sports Now. Take advantage of this one-time opportunity and call 749-4623 right now to schedule your player's free video analysis. That number again, 749-4623. Discover how a free video analysis can help. Call Elite Performance Baseball and Softball Training Center at 749-4623 right now. Learn from the pros to swing like a pro.
Sports performance training has evolved. Many athletes have taken advantage of sports vision training with Dr. Fred Edmonds and haven't looked back. Seeing a need for athletes to incorporate visual performance enhancement into their training, Dr. Fred established the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic to offer specialized sports vision care. Athletes are invited to test their visual strengths and weaknesses with a visit to the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic at the Sports Center on MCC campus. They will participate in a battery of standardized visual skills tests. Based on this unique and comprehensive visual performance evaluation, Dr. Fred develops an enhancement training program tailored to each individual athlete. For more information about the Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, visit ExtremeSights.com or call 585-880-4818 today. Extreme Sight, a proud supporter of Youth Sports Now Radio.
It's been an exciting night at Pee Wee Hockey, Billy.
These kids have really played their hearts out tonight, Jim.
And now in the stands, two mums drop their mittens, and it looks like they want to go. It's Porter's mom and Smith's mom. Smith's mom gets in two right hand.
Porter's got a real big size advantage in this one.
Now Wilkinson's mom comes in from behind. Wilkinson posts Porter's cashmere sweater over her head.
I tell you, that's got to be one of the most unladylike things I've ever seen.
We got parents tearing up everywhere in the stands.
Absolute mayhem.
Relax. It's just a game. A message from USA Hockey.
Little League, where dreams are made for children, where baseball's meaning is much more than the score, where a moment can last a lifetime. The Challenger Division. Log on to littleleague.org for more information.
Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training is Rochester's trusted go-to source for sports performance training, injury prevention, and rehabilitation. Peak Performance, where you will find world-class experts just around the corner from home, where feeling better, finding confidence, and gaining superior performance are natural. Where traditional one-size-fits-all protocols are defeated by personalized performance plans that are as unique as each athlete. Where you are treated like a professional and are cared
cared for like family, where evaluation, recovery from injury, return to play, and competitive advantage are in the bag. So whether your athlete is a peewee player, an elite competitor, a seasoned professional, a wannabe weekend warrior, a couch contender, or a still active retiree, peak performance is your ticket to exceptional achievement. Make your move. We'll bring out the athlete in you. If peak performance is what you want, just ask for us by name. Peak Performance, where you will feel the difference.
Youth Sports Now on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Labor Day traditionally marks the end of summer and the start of the school year for most of the youth in our community, whether it be grammar school or college. What a summer it has been for our youth. Thousands of soccer, lacrosse, and Little League games have been played. The youth summer sports camps were filled to capacity. Pools were filled with our youth playing and swimming for fun and competition. And our community played host to the LPGA Championship, the PGA Championship, NASCAR at Watkins Glen, the Western New York Flash Games, the Red Wing Games, and so much more. As a sports community, we are truly blessed. When I was in grammar school, it was around this time of year that the teachers usually made us pull out the tablet book, and the question was, what did you do on your summer vacation? My guess is they still ask that question today, but students probably use iPads or e-tablets instead. Hopefully, your youth athletes had a good summer, one that was injury-free and loaded with fun. And that question that the teachers ask about what the kids did on their summer vacation is a good one, but I'd like to revise it. It's one that parents should ask their kids. What did they learn from their sports experience this summer? It doesn't have to be an essay form, and it can be conversational around the dinner table. I think people still do that. Or in a car, or even while you are shopping with your kids for the never-ending list of school supplies that weren't on that list. Ask them what they learned besides winning and losing, what they liked and didn't like about their coaches. What do they wish they did or didn't do in relation to their sport, and ask them the most important question, did they have fun? Why conduct this little exercise? It's extremely rare in this win-at-all-cost youth sports society that we live in that we as parents ask the question. We assume the answers all the time, but the answers may surprise us. This is a perfect time of year to do this. This is a perfect time of year to ask the question, as many registrations for next year have already started. Let's do the right thing for our kids and ask them if they want to return to a sport, if they want to continue a grueling schedule of practice, games, and travel. Ask them to be honest. Ask them to be honest with you and ask them if they want to continue. The answers just might shock us. And regardless if their decision is to continue or not, support their decision. Help them look into different sports or even academic activities. Support begins at home, and when it does, it translates over to the athletic field and into the classroom. And that's my view from the dugout.
This has been Youth Sports Now. Rochester's only radio show dedicated to the youth athlete has been brought to you by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester, helping your young athlete achieve their peak physical performance. And by McQuaid Jesuit High School, Extreme Sight Performance Clinic, and by TJT Sports Photography. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or our website at www.youthsportsnowradio.com.